Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Ready to prioritize yourself? Your skin is a great place to start. Dime Beauty, founded by a master esthetician, is more than just a skincare company. With four skin-conscious categories, skincare, beauty, body care, and fragrance, Dime offers simple, spa-worthy products that will help bring your glow back. Whether you're revitalizing your regimen with nourishing products or building one from scratch, Dime makes it easy. The Work System, our all-in-one best-selling routine, includes a cleanser of your choice, toner, serums, and moisturizers, taking the guesswork out of skincare for your healthiest, happiest skin yet. Dime's commitment to clean ingredients and sustainable packaging ensures every product is as gentle on your skin as it is on the planet. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews and a loyal community, the results speak for themselves. Revive your skin and give yourself the routine refresh you deserve by visiting DimeBeautyCO.com. That's DimeBeautyCO.com. Your best skin awaits.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas, both on and off the field. Here's Sean Pendergast.
Welcome
to Utopia.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. It is a schedule release reaction edition of the Utopia Football Podcast. I'm Sean Pendergast, one half of Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. weekday mornings. You can catch us on YouTube, Twitch, the Odyssey app, and on terrestrial radio. Appreciate you tuning in. The schedule dropped last night. I've got a handful of thoughts on the schedule, both Texans related and league wide schedule thoughts that we'll get to on this podcast. So that'll be solely what this is. This will be a fairly quick one, but wanted to get you some of my thoughts. See if you share some of my thoughts. If you want to interact with me on this, best way to do it is on my social media. My Instagram, Sean.Pendergast. Twitter is at Sean T. Pendergast. And then, of course, you can hit me with an email if you'd like. And in fact, I would love it if you would email me, because we're going to do a mailbag next week. HOUmailbag@gmail.com. HOUmailbag@gmail.com is the email address for this podcast. So without further ado, let's get right to it. My one biggest takeaway, and then I'll give you my smaller takeaways in just a second. My one biggest takeaway is that I think there were a lot of people out there that thought that the Texans' performance in primetime games last year, in particular the final primetime game, or I guess standalone game we'll call it, last season, wasn't necessarily primetime, but it was they had the audience to themselves type of game. Christmas Day, 31-2, Ravens destroy the Texans. The only good thing about that entire day was Beyonce at halftime. Other than that, all the football stuff was dog shit. So I think between that and the fact that the Texans didn't really take a step forward last year, they lost in the same round of the playoffs. At least it was a little more competitive than C.J. Stroud's rookie year, but still a disappointment that the Texans would get less primetime attention. And I say less meaning like, you know, back down with, you know, teams that get maybe one or two primetime games. Texans got four primetime games, and they're all spread out over the course of the season. So my big takeaway is that I don't know that the bloom is off the rose necessarily for the Houston Texans when it comes to primetime TV. Two Monday night games, a Thursday night game, and a Sunday night game in that order. The first two primetime games they have are both Monday night football games, week two against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, week seven in Seattle against the Seahawks, which is a 9 o'clock kickoff time here in Houston, because it's the back end of a doubleheader ESPN's doing a couple doubleheaders this year that have the games not overlapping, that have the games literally back-to-back. So there's a late West Coast game. The Texans are involved in the late West Coast game on that Week 7 doubleheader. So 9 o'clock kick, which I know none of you probably super care greatly about this, but that means the post-game show is going till 3 in the morning. That means I'm going to bed at 4 in the morning and getting up at 5 in the morning to go do radio. So needless to say, I will be sleeping on a couch up at the studio that night. The other two primetime games are within just a couple of weeks of each other, the Bills and the Texans on Thursday Night Football at NRG Stadium in Week 12. And then in Week 14, the Texans go to Kansas City to play Sunday Night Football in early December. We'll get into all that, but I feel like looking at this schedule, I think my one big takeaway about I don't think the bloom is off the rose. I think the Texans got a lot of love. They're going to play some late afternoon window games as well on Sundays. So I still think there is some love out there for the Texans as a TV property. Now, they need to play better offensively this year if that's going to remain the case. If they go 10-7 again or 9-8 and they're not a watchable 9-8, I don't know how watchable a 10-7 they were last year, then they'll continue to backslide. They're in a division that's already – the TV networks are predisposed to ignore the AFC South. And if you need any evidence, just know that the Texans have 4 primetime games. The entire division outside of the Texans, Tennessee, Indianapolis, and Jacksonville, have 2 combined. 1 for Jayville, 1 for Indy, none for Tennessee. Tennessee is one of 3 teams with no primetime games, alongside Cleveland and New Orleans. So the Texans are at least, I think, well above the line of teams, franchises that the league and the networks are happy to have on their airwaves. So there's that. And then I think just the way this schedule lays out so much better than last year's did in terms of being conducive to success. Last year's schedule, the Texans had not one but 2 instances where they played 3 games within 10 or 11 days of each other. They had the early one that included the Halloween game with the Jets. And then later in the season, the one that was started with Miami and then Kansas City and then Baltimore on Christmas. 2 instances of 3 games within 11 days. I think it's tough for a team that has a lot of guys that aren't used to playing primetime games, let alone smush together parts of the schedule. The 3 primetime games in the middle of the season, weeks 9, 10, and 11, that's a tough thing, especially when 2 of them are on the road. So I just think, and the bye week being in week 14 last year, I just think between that and all the quarterbacks that they ended up playing, they played a pretty good slew of quarterbacks. That was a tough schedule last year. I don't really care about the record of the teams that they're playing necessarily compared to last year. I think they may be playing a harder schedule by record this year than last year, which is fine. That's such a flawed way to look at it. To me, I just look at the way the schedule lays out chronologically. How many primetime games? Primetime games are pretty spread out, so they've got 1 each month. It's not like there's 3 in a row like last year. Even the trips to the West Coast are pretty spread out. They make 3 trips out to the West Coast, LA in week 1, Seattle in week 7, and then LA again to play the Chargers in week 17. The season opener, you got 2 weeks before that trip out there. The Seattle game comes after the bye week. The Chargers game is sandwiched in between 2 home games. I mean, it really is, that all schedules are created equal in terms of like the number of home and away games for AFC teams and the number of home and away games for NFC teams. Odd number of games. So each year kind of flips back and forth. This year, the AFC teams get 9 home, 8 away, which so all AFC teams have that. The inequality is in the amount of travel, the number of primetime games, the way the games are staged. I think the Texans, this is about as good a case scenario for a schedule as you could get. So I think overall it's really good. That's my big takeaway there. As far as specific thoughts about the schedule, let's get to those. I love the opener against the Rams. I don't necessarily love it for the offensive line. The Rams D-line is no joke. Jared Verse, Braden Fisk, Byron Young, Kobe Turner, that's a really good defensive line. And the Texans, I think, as we all know, have had issues on the offensive line. So this is the first game that a Cole Popovich, Nick Caley coached offensive line is going to play in the regular season. And if you're looking at the Texans' schedule, man, I don't know that if you're trying to get off to a good start, the league might have handed them the toughest defensive line to go against. I know Baltimore's got a really good front seven. Kansas City with Chris Jones, probably wouldn't want to catch him in week one. Sorry, I got to clear my throat. And there's others on there on the schedule too, I'm sure. They play some really good defenses this year. But I love the angle of Nick Caley in his first game as OC going against Sean McVay and the Rams. Maybe he's got some intel as to their operation that can help the Texans. I think there's more that Nick Caley knows about the Rams than the Rams know about Nick Caley, offensive coordinator. He hasn't called plays in a game yet. So I think there's positives and negatives tactically to having that game as the opener. I think unequivocally it's exciting. You know, that's a good team, playoff team, and you got the Nick Caley angle. So that's number one. I'm good on that. For the second year in a row, as I just mentioned, the home opener is a primetime game for the second year in a row. Last year, the home opener was Sunday Night Football against the Chicago Bears. The Texans won that one 19-13 in kind of a defensive struggle, chasing Caleb Williams all over the field in that game. Hopefully they're doing the same thing to Baker Mayfield in this game against Tampa Bay in week two on Monday Night Football. So that'll be the first game in one of those back-to-back doubleheaders on a Monday in week two, Texans and Tampa Bay. Last time these two teams played, it was one of the most exciting games of the year in 2023. So there's that. The Texans against Tampa Bay, Monday Night Football, should be a whole lot of fun. The place should be rocking. And that's one of four primetime games. Again, the rest of the AFC South, just two combined, Indianapolis and Jacksonville. So Texans, Tampa Bay, Monday Night Football. Texans, Seattle in Seattle, Monday Night Football, and a late start here. And then Thursday Night Football against Buffalo, Sunday Night Football against Kansas City in weeks 12 and 14. I'm going to get into those here in just a second. So those are the initial thoughts on Caley in week one, primetime in week two, one of four primetime games. And then as far as the schedule goes, I always look at patches of the schedule. What part is the most difficult part? What part is the most friendly stretch of schedule? I was going back and forth on the most treacherous part of the schedule. My initial reaction was weeks 11 through 14. So the Texans will be coming off in week 11. They'll be coming off a stretch where they played three straight home games against San Francisco, Denver, and who am I missing? Jacksonville, I think. And so you got three straight home games. That's nice. And then you go into a stretch where you've got at Tennessee in week 11, division game, can't poo-poo that, even if it's a bad team. Thursday Night Football against the Buffalo Bills. So you got a quick turnaround to play the Bills on Thursday night. It's at home. That's good. Then you turn around and you go to Indianapolis for week 13. Again, not a great team, but a team that gave you trouble last year. You beat them in two games by a combined total of 5 points. And that was with Anthony Richardson, other than a few big chunk plays, playing like shit. And again, a division game. And then the following week, Sunday Night Football at Kansas City. So in early December, by the way. So that stretch to me is that was my gut reaction. That's the toughest stretch. You've got road division game, short turnaround against AFC title game participant, road division game, and then primetime cold weather against the best franchise of this recent generation and the AFC champs last year. So that's a tricky, tricky four games. Now, I do think that the first five games of the year, the bye week is in week six. I like that. We got an earlier bye week than last year.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Ready to prioritize yourself? Your skin is a great place to start. Dime Beauty, founded by a master esthetician, is more than just a skincare company. With four skin-conscious categories, skincare, beauty, body care, and fragrance, Dime offers simple, spa-worthy products that will help bring your glow back. Whether you're revitalizing your regimen with nourishing products or building one from scratch, Dime makes it easy. The Work System, our all-in-one best-selling routine, includes a cleanser of your choice, toner, serums, and moisturizers, taking the guesswork out of skincare for your healthiest, happiest skin yet. Dime's commitment to clean ingredients and sustainable packaging ensures every product is as gentle on your skin as it is on the planet. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews and a loyal community, the results speak for themselves. Revive your skin and give yourself the routine refresh you deserve by visiting dimebeautyco.com. That's dimebeautyco.com. Your best skin awaits.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Next year, I do think, I don't want to sleep on the first five games. I think the Texans should go at least 3-2 in those first five games. But you got the Rams, road game, you're an underdog there. You come back, you play that Monday night game against a Tampa Bay team that was a playoff team last year. Then at Jacksonville, home Tennessee. I think that's the big – and then you have at Baltimore, which we know is going to be a bitch. That's going to be a bear. That's going to be hard. Jacksonville and Tennessee, at Jacksonville, home Tennessee in weeks 3 and 4. If Liam Cohen can kind of get the best version of Trevor Lawrence – and if Cam Ward is to rookie quarterbacks maybe what C.J. Stroud was a couple of years ago, you remember in week four? By week four, C.J. Stroud was clicking. If Cam Ward comes in early and gets it, that first five games of the year is much trickier than it looks on paper. So depending on how Jacksonville and Tennessee look, I reserve the right to change my mind before the season starts at the first five games. Now, I still think even with a good Cam Ward or whatever good looks like for Cam Ward, you should win that game at home. I do think that with whatever's going, you know, if Trevor Lawrence is better, you should still win that game in Jacksonville. I mean, it's been a while since you've lost the game in Jacksonville. It's been a while since they've lost a game on the road in the AFC South. That Jacksonville game in week three, that road game, the Texans are trying to continue what is currently an 11-game winning streak on the road in the division. That streak goes back to David Culley, by God. So that's a crazy, crazy streak to me. So I the first five games, I think, are underrated in its possible trickiness, but I think it's that stretch of four from weeks 11 through 14 that's the most treacherous stretch of schedule to me. Two division road games, two games in prime time against the AFC title game participants from last season. As far as the most friendly stretch, I think it's the last four games of the year. The four games that follow the most treacherous stretch, you go into the most friendly stretch to me, weeks 15 through 18, three out of four games at home. Weeks 15, 16, and 18 are all home games. They're all against teams that didn't make the playoffs last year, and I think they're teams that are not expected to make the playoffs this year. You know, Cincinnati was a team that didn't make the playoffs last year. I think a lot of people expect Cincinnati to bounce back. I don't know if people are expecting Arizona, week 15, Las Vegas, week 16, and Indianapolis, week 18, all home games, to make the playoffs this year. In fact, they're all underdogs to make the playoffs. Sandwiched in between there in week 17 is a trip to L.A. to face the Chargers, who the Texans smoked in the playoffs last year. So I think that last four games lays out really well. If through the first 13 games of the season, the Texans are, say, you know, 9-5. What am I doing? First 13 games of the season. So they're 8-5 through the first 13 games. I think it sets up really well for them to get beyond the 10-7 record that they've had over the last couple of years. D'Amico Ryan said he wants to go to new heights with this team. It starts in the regular season. The new heights he's talking about are getting to the AFC title game. You can't get to the AFC title game most of the time unless you set yourself up with good seeding in the regular season. If you get a 2 seed, then you're going to be playing home games until the AFC title game. And a 2 seed is very doable. I know the AFC is stacked. I know you got the Ravens, the Bills, and the Chiefs. And you play all those teams this year. But if you win one of those games, and take care of your business. They won one of those games last year. They beat the Bills at home last year, but they didn't take care of their other business. You lose games like the Titans and the Jets and just some inexcusable games. I mean, losing to the Lions, there's no shame in that, but when you intercept Jared Goff five times, there's shame in that, and you lose the game. You know, when you go up to Green Bay, C.J. Stroud has 86 yards passing for the entire game, and you still only lose on a last-second field goal. You got no business losing games like that. So you're going to lose games to good teams. I get that. But if you take care of your business, they get to 12-5. I think they've got a really good shot at being a two seed. If you're the two seed, then you have no excuse to you have no excuse not to make a run to the AFC title game. You're set up to have home games in the opening round and in the second round of the playoffs. So that's the thing. The new heights have to start in the regular season. It's not the playoffs. It starts in the regular season. All right. So those are my thoughts on the schedule. I love the way it lays out. That the most treacherous part of it is a part that includes the Colts and the Titans tells you that this is a schedule that sets up pretty nicely for the Texans, I think, to have a good year in terms of the chronology of it. Now, the caliber of opponents on paper looks very good. This is not a great year to cross over with the AFC West and the NFC West because there are no patsies in either of those divisions. It's not like last year we played the AFC East and the patsies were the actual Pats, the Patriots. And even the Jets should have beat them. But you caught that division in a year where you had two bad teams, one mediocre team in Miami, and then the Bills. And you actually won three of those games. You just couldn't take care of business against the Jets. That isn't the case this year. The AFC West, Chargers, Broncos, Chiefs, all playoff teams last year. And I think all teams that shouldn't – none of them should expect to slip backwards this year. And then the Raiders traded for Geno Smith, who makes them, I think, at least – they may be a 7-10 team, but I think they'll be a 7-10 team that could be a little dangerous. And then in the NFC West, I don't think there's a great team in that division, but there ain't no bad teams in that division. San Francisco 6-11 last year, but if they stay healthy this year and get the ball to bounce the other way a couple times, that you can't sleep on San Francisco. Seattle went 10-7 last year. The Rams were a playoff team. The Cardinals are not nearly the dumpster fire they were a couple years ago. So, again, a ton of winnable games, but a ton of losable games too. So should be a whole lot of fun, man. This should be a fun schedule this year. Now we know how it all lays out. So those are my schedule thoughts. I'll give you more thoughts obviously on Payne and Pendergast. You can tune in. We're dropping this on Thursday. You can tune in on Friday. Schedule thoughts will continue on Friday, I'm sure, and then into next week. We'll do a mailbag next week. So send in your emails, especially follow-ups to the regular season schedule. Send in your emails, houmailbag@gmail.com. Big thanks to Jared Rowland, my producer, for getting this podcast out to all of you. Big thanks to all of you for listening. Subscribe, rate, review the podcast. Really appreciate when you do that. Tell a friend. It's going to be a hell of a ride this season, and we will see all of you next week. Enjoy your weekend. Have a good one, everybody.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.